We're continuing chapter 1 of Emma. So she was in the room with her father and Mr. Knightley. And her father was just telling her that she shouldn't make matches. "I promise you to make none for myself, Papa, but I must indeed for other people. It is the greatest amusement in the world, and after such success, you know. Everybody said that Mr. Weston would never marry again. Oh, dear, no. Mr. Weston, who had been a widower for so long, who seemed so perfectly comfortable without a wife, so constantly occupied, either in his business, wherever he went, either in his business in town, or among his friends here, always acceptable wherever he went, always cheerful. If Mr. Weston did not spend a single evening in the year alone, he did not like it. Oh, no, Mr. Weston certainly would never marry again. Some people even talked of a promise to his wife on her deathbed, and others of the son and the uncle not letting him. All manner of solemn nonsense was talked on the subject, but I believed none of it. Ever since the day, about 4 years ago, that Miss Taylor and I met with him in Broadway Lane, when, because it began to drizzle, he darted away with so much gallantry and borrowed 2 umbrellas for us from Farmer Mitchell's, I made up my mind on the subject. I planned the match from that hour, and when such success has blessed me in this instance, dear Papa, you cannot think that I shall leave off matchmaking." "I do not understand what you mean by success," said Mr. Knightley. "Success supposes endeavor. Your time has been properly and delicately spent if you have been endeavoring for the last 4 years to bring about this marriage. A worthy employment for a young lady's mind. But if, which I rather imagine, you're making the match, as you call it, means only you're planning it, you are saying to yourself one idle day, 'I think it would be a very good thing for Miss Taylor if Mr. Weston were to marry her,' and saying it again to yourself every now and then afterward, why do you talk of success? Where is your merit? What are you proud of? You made a lucky guess, and that is all that can be said." "And have you never known the pleasure and triumph of a lucky guess? I pity you," she said. "I thought you clever, for, depend upon it, a lucky guess is never merely luck. There is always some talent in it. And as to my poor word success, which you quarrel with, I do not know. I do not know that I am so entirely without any claim to it. You have drawn 2 pretty pictures, but I think there may be a third, a something between the do-nothing and the do-all. If I had not promoted Mr. Weston's visits here, and given many little encouragements, and smoothed many little matters, it might not have come to anything after all. I think you must know. I think you must know Hartfield enough to comprehend that. A straightforward, open-hearted man like Weston, and a rational, unaffected women like Miss Taylor may be safely left to manage their own concerns," he said. "You are more likely to have done harm to yourself than good to them by interference." "Emma never thinks of herself if she can do good to others," rejoined Mr. Woodhouse, understanding but in part. "But, my dear, pray do not make up any more matches. They are silly things, and break up one's family circle grievously." "Only one more, Papa. Only for Mr. Elton. Poor Mr. Elton. You like Mr. Elton, Papa. I must look about for a wife for him. There is nobody in Highbury who deserves him, and he has been here a whole year and fitted up his house so comfortably that it would be a shame to have him single any longer. And I thought when he was joining their hands today, he looked so very much as if he would like to have the same kind of office done for him. I think very well of Mr. Elton, and this is the only way I have of doing him a service. Mr. Elton is a very pretty young man, to be sure, and a very good young man, and I have a great regard for him, but if you want to show him any attention, my dear, ask him to come and dine with us some day. That will be a much better thing. I dare say Mr. Knightley will be so kind as to meet him." "With great pleasure, sir, at any time," said Mr. Knightley, laughing, "and I agree with you entirely, that it will be a much better thing. Invite him to dinner, Emma, and help him to the best of the fish and the chicken, but leave him to choose his own wife. Depend on it, A man of 6 or 7 and 20 years can take care of himself. And that's the end of chapter 1. It's bedtime. Sweet dreams, my love.